be back in the pulpit, and we're thrilled to know what God's doing here and the call of Brother Reasoner. I didn't ever say anything until after this, but back in September, we were in Kansas and El Dorado, and at the church there, and saw Brother Reasoner, and I had just talked to your former pastor about, he just talked about resigning, and I talked to him, and anyway, so then I saw Brother Joel, and I said, are you not going back to Russia? And he said, well, Brother Dan, I don't know. He says, we're going to pray about it and wait 2 more weeks till the end of September. And if God's not changed anything, then we'll know we're supposed to be here in the States. And I said, well, when you do, I know of a church that's open. And I know, I just feel the Lord's directing that way. I mean, that's, anyway. And so then I saw your pastor at Home Missions back in October, and over in Yakima, and I come up to him, and I said, you know, I know of somebody. And he goes, looked at me, he goes, yeah, Lord's been speaking to me. I think Joel Reasoner probably is who's supposed to be, you know. So it's, isn't that weird, you know. So I knew right away God had a plan, you know, and so it's exciting to see, and I'm looking forward to see what God's going to do with the church here. Amen. Apparently God cares about this church. Amen. 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 Okay, let's take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew chapter 1. Christmas season's here. I guess it's 1 week away, hard to believe. If you're able, let's stand as we read from God's Word. We'll start with verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. If you know anything about Herod the Great, that's scary when he says he's troubled. Okay, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, we thank you for this season, Lord. We just pray that this morning you'd help us to focus on the word. Lord, help us to pay attention to what God has for us. And if there's someone here that does not know Jesus, oh God, speak to them, prick their heart. Help them to come to Christ today. Now give me that unction from on high, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, certain names call certain things to our attention when I mention them. Adolf Hitler. General George Armstrong Custer. Bonnie and Clyde. George Washington. Martin Luther. Alexander the Great. How about Bible names? Abraham. How about the name Delilah? Samuel. Yeah. In biblical times, listen to me, names were given to children with care because it was a message that was being sent. We think of Abraham, father of many nations, man of great faith. Josiah, his name means the Lord supports. How about the name Mahershal Hashbaz? That's the longest word in the Bible, but it's a name. In fact, God told Isaiah to name his son Mahershal Hashbaz as a prophecy. Because that name meant, listen to this, quick to plunder, swift to the spoil. In other words, God's going to judge you. So you can imagine going up and seeing Abraham with his two little boys. Josheab or something like that. And the other one, he says, what's his name? To the spoil. That cute little kid does a spoil. What are you trying to, you know? And so names meant something. So significant was the importance of the name that Saul of Tarsus, after he got saved, changed his name to Paul. I remember meeting a man in Fiji, had been a Hindu, and he got saved and got rid of his Hindu name and took on a biblical name. I said, what's your name? He was first Hindu there in that village that my son-in-law had started the church there, and he kind of was the reason they went to that village. And he said, my name's Jonathan. I took a new name because I got saved. And I thought, man, what a testimony. Interesting, Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. We know him about Peter. We know he's Simon, but we think of Peter, don't we? Today we look at names. That's wacko. They're given names without any significance. Isn't that true? Listen, these are real names. They make up randomly. I think something falls out of the sky. This is a true name. Jed I. Knight. Propecia. Sinatab. Axie. Lakin. Blimp. Chinchia. In Fiji. Not all the people in Fiji are smart. There was people in the church there, the girls, there was named Delilah. Another girl was named was Swastika. And this is the worst of all, another girl's name was Nausea. She wasn't that ugly, I'm sorry. But names. But concerning the Lord, we start thinking about our Lord. When he came to the earth, the Father gave some very meaningful names to him. These are names which describe who he is. In fact, they're names that reveal why he came. In fact, they're names which give us greater understanding of the necessity of him coming to this earth. You know, there's never been a more important child born on the earth than this child, Jesus. Think about it. Earth stands in the balance according to the accomplishment of this birth. The angels tell Mary, listen, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. For with God, he concludes it, with nothing shall be impossible. And of course, she's troubled. I mean, she's with child and doesn't know a man, you know. Think about this. Both heaven and earth await the outcome of this miraculous endeavor. Three different angels appear at different moments to announce it to the shepherds on the hillside. Three different times they make appearance to Mary, to Joseph, The angel, I mean, it's incredible. This is a vital, not only vital, it's the most significant birth ever performed. A group of biblical historians travel very far from the east to see this child, while there's a king that tries to eliminate the child. You don't think it's important? A devout Jew in Jerusalem named Simeon, after seeing the child, gives him this great discourse about him and then concludes this. He says, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I can depart now." You know? And of course, the Bible records throughout this that Mary keeps pondering these things in her heart and wondering, man, she's beginning to understand this is more than not only abnormal, this is incredible. Many experiences and events surround this child, really, that no mother in all of history before or after has ever seen concerning the one that they give birth to. Now, the names we're going to look at this morning are not just significant. It's not just names to say, well, that's a nice name, or that's a pretty name, and then move on. But these are names with great meaning, eternal impact, every one of them. In fact, they're names that affect every one of us here, whether you know the Lord or don't know the Lord, for all time and eternity. They're so significant that mankind has repeated these names throughout history, some in reverence, some in fear. But regardless, it makes an impact. These names cost us, in fact, when we're looking at them this morning, they're going to cause you and I to ponder our own spiritual condition. That's how important they are. And you may be thinking, oh, preacher, you're making such a big deal about these names. How could they affect us eternally? What could possibly be in a person's name that affects that? Affects a life forever. Well, let's look at it. Verse 23 of Matthew 1. Behold. Every time you see that behold, if you read the Bible a lot, you get used to reading behold and just kind of move on. But remember, behold is like, hey, listen up. This is important. So he says, behold. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This name is mentioned only here and in Isaiah 7:14, where it originally is given in a prophecy. Think about it. The origin of this child is given some 800 years before he's born. And then also, it's repeated right after Mary had conception. Now think about that. You think there's a plan here? You think there's something involved with God in all of history? What he's saying is this child that's being born is not starting his existence now. He's been from eternity past.
Yeah.
He's God in the flesh. I mean, that these things, when you think about the birth of Christ, it's so immense and so hard to understand that I just accept it by faith. How can this be, Mary said. Yeah, well, yeah, it's a miracle of God. That's the only way you can answer it. And those who attack the divinity of Jesus Christ are simply following the direction of their father, the devil. People attack, oh, he's just another man. I mean, I get sick of that stuff, the JWs and all those people. Wackos, you know. The Bible's real clear about that. He's born of a virgin to retain his divinity. That's why the virgin birth happened. It wasn't just, well, just to make some miracle. Guys, you're the cause of sin. We want to blame the wives, but it's not. It's man's seed started. You say, well, Eve, she sinned. Well, she was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing, and he's disobeying God, and he went ahead and did it. And so death passed upon all men because of Adam, not because of Eve. So the wives are all pumped about it. I'll rip on you later, okay? But truthfully, now say, what's the point then? Well, in some miracle, some strange way, Jesus is born of the woman's seed. So now, wait a minute, woman don't have a seed. When God steps in, they do. And so therefore, he's not born with that contagion that we all are born with. You know, this is free, but this is where our politicians today are whacked out. They think, well, oh, the Muslims, they'll be nice if you're nice to them. No, they all have the same problem we all have. They're born sinners. They naturally have evil desires. It comes out of them. And so there's only two things that will change a person like that. It's either powerful weapons or Jesus coming into their heart. Okay? So that was free. But I understand it's that nature. And so Jesus is born of a virgin because he's without a sin nature. He's the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I have a simple illustration here that, if I can get it out of here. Some of you probably saw this when you were children, the little wordless book. Black, this represents us. We're all sinners. We black with sin. Jesus came and shed his blood and paid the price for our sin. And so Jesus then took our sin to him. Amen. And then after that, handed us a spotless life because of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's such a simple truth, but it's so true. This is not what we really are, but because of Christ's blood, we're not this. Now, there's still a lot of this. Until you come receive the blood of Christ, you can't be receiving the white, the clear life that can help us, help get you into heaven, as it were. This is why he's also called the Son of God. In Luke 1:35, it says he'll be the Son of God because it's, you know, people have this mixed up. This is not a birth designation. It's a generational designation. So what do you mean generational? I'm a Lydic. My dad was a Lydic. Good or bad, that's how it is. I got a son who's a Lydic. I have grandsons that are Lydics. It's in their genes. It's the generational thing. It has nothing to do with birth. It has to do with our nature. Good or bad, it's their lightings. You know. This child, Jesus Christ, is of a new generation. He's a generation of God. He's God the Son. He's the Son of God. Yes, designation. This is why the Jewish leadership wanted to stone him when he says he's the Son of God. They knew he was claiming divinity. They knew he was claiming that he's God. Why people don't want to understand that? They don't know their Bible, for one thing. And so he is Emmanuel, God with us. Hold your place there and look in John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was" who? God. Well, who is this Word he's talking about? Well, look in verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there's another name, not just Emmanuel, but there's also the name he's given is the Word. You say, well, that's a strange name. Well, what is a word? It's a method of communication. Is it not? It helps us communicate. It helps us understand. It expresses feelings and truth. Jesus is the Word. He's the communicator. He's the living, walking message of God. You want to know about God? Study about Jesus. He's the communicator. If you want to hear God directly communicate with you, then read what this child says. It'll blow your socks off. It'll blow your mind. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, spiritual man as it were, a religious leader. He came to the living Word by night because he'd been watching. He was one of the few Sanhedrin that was sincere. And he says, I've been watching you. And no man can do what you're doing except God's in him. And so Jesus, what does he respond? Nicodemus, except a man to be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus revealed how ignorant he was in spiritual truth. Because Jesus had to explain to him the spiritual birth of Jesus Christ that we all need, the Savior. But understand, the very existence and Jesus walking among them begin to make an impact on Nicodemus' life. See, this child is the key to understand about God, who he is, and how we can reach God. I mean, the living Word, listen to me. Philip asked him, he said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And the living Word responded with this, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? At the same time, he told all the disciples, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I mean, can you imagine just being with those disciples and walking and spending the day and day after day with the Lord himself? I mean, the existence, the very reality of him being there. He's the living Word. It truly gives us greater understanding of God himself. See, this child is an expression of God in his feelings and truths. We didn't understand about God's compassion until Jesus walked on this earth. Think about this. I mean, he goes out of his way to reach a Gentile Samaritan woman. And the disciples are, they're puzzled. What are you talking to her for? You know? I mean, he comes to the tomb where Lazarus had been buried, and he weeps. And they said, man, behold how he loved him. And all that comes together when you begin to see about Jesus and begin to understand that this is God. That's how much he cares about us. How much he loves us. The sacrifices he'll go through clear to the cross. We have a great God. And really, we the Old Testament talks about all that stuff. Jesus expresses it to us. Yeah. Back to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 2. Come to Herod and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen this his star in the east. And I come to worship him. Interesting, these magi or magi or wise men. They're unique guys, aren't they? They were the Bible scholars, scientists of the day. Interesting men. Don't know much about them before or after, but we do know this. They had to be wealthy by the size of their gifts. And I hate to burst your bubble. We don't know if there was 3, 5, or 10, or 20. And we don't know if they were on camels. Okay, some of you are going to be crying because it's ruined your whole Christmas story. And they didn't make it to the manger. They went to the house to read what the Bible says. It wasn't like they could jump in their car and drive over from Babylon that day. Okay? They came a long time. The star was there. They wouldn't get to the manger in time. I'm sorry. Anyway, that was free. But we know that it was probably more than 3 because they came into Jerusalem and they captured the city. Who are these guys? Well, Jerusalem's a large city. 3 guys coming in wouldn't bother them. But a caravan of guys coming in would probably wonder what these guys are here for. But they were enough in number to trouble the whole city. And get this, they weren't Jews. They're Gentiles. I mean, they said they know this Savior's, he's the Savior of the world. Amen? He's not just come to die for Jews. He's come for all. And they also understood this Christ child to be the creator and the ruler of the whole universe. They call him the King of Kings. Now Herod the Great was bothered. If you ever know about Herod the Great, you go to Masada. Everybody knows, heard of Masada? It's a big mountain now overlooking the Dead Sea on the south. It's like, I think it's 1,400 feet up to the top of this mountain. And it's a steep mountain on all sides. I don't know how many slaves died to build this resort for Herod the Great. That'll give you, he's not one of your best guys. It's not one of the guys you want to meet. You'd shake his hand, he may cut your arm off, In fact, he killed his own wife and a couple of his sons because he thought they were trying to take his throne. So anyway, this guy's a sicko, But interesting that the Jewish priests were ignoring the King of Kings. But the wise men from the east or come to see the King. I mean, we could get a whole message on, are you wise? Certainly if you're wise, you'll seek the King, But as King, to come to him, you must receive him as Lord of your life. We know the scripture, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? Lord Jesus. Jesus is boss. And shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, the most significant name we know of is his name is Jesus. Meaning what? Savior. Interesting that Jesus is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew name Joshua. Did you know that? The name Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. In the LXX, or the Septuagint, which was written 150-250 BC, that's the first translation of the Bible, the Old Testament into Greek, because everybody spoke Greek. And it's called LXX or 70 because there were 70 translators in Alexandria that did it. But interesting, whenever you get to the book of Joshua, in the LXX, it's called the book of Jesus. And every time the word Joshua we have in our Old Testament book, there is given the name Jesus. So that's interesting. Well, because Joshua or Jesus was the deliverer from the people from the bondage. And it's always Jesus that delivers from bondage. He's the great deliverer from the wilderness of sin to the promised land. I mean, there's a whole message involved with this. I mean, he's the one who the Israelites were to follow. And he's the one that would lead them to deliverance. It's Jesus. Before Joshua or Jesus, Israel lived in doubt and defeat. But with Jesus, they found victory. Amen? So Jesus is the fulfillment of the illustration of Joshua. Jesus is mighty deliverer. He's the one who can save your soul. He's the one we should follow. If you want to get out of the wilderness of sin, you got to come to Jesus. Yeah. Also in Zechariah chapter 3, there's another Joshua or Jesus who's the high priest in those days. And this is, I preached a message on this. I love this passage. And it says, Joshua gives this vision to Zechariah, and there's Joshua the high priest, and he comes before God the Father, and he's wearing filthy garments. And remember, the high priest is the representative of you and I. And that's what we are, in filthy garments. And then, as Jesus or Joshua the high priest stands there, God says, remove those filthy garments and put the new white garments upon him. And God says, that's what I'm going to do with you. I'm going to change your wickedness and turn it into light because of the high priest, Jesus. He says, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee in white raiment. And then he goes on, he says, what I'm talking about is, he says, I've had my servant coming, who's known as the branch. That's Jesus Christ. And the branch will take away these filthy garments and give us new ones, clean as white as snow. See, the name Jesus, that is so important. In fact, the Bible says God has magnified the name Jesus above all other names. Philippians 2. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's a man in the Kalispell area, Christian man. You know, I love him. He's probably one of the boldest witnesses I've ever met. Even though he's not a Baptist, he loves the Lord. His name's Philip Klebmoen. He's a millionaire, and then his dad was a millionaire. So when his dad died, he got his dad's millions. And he puts up these Bible signs everywhere. Started with Ten Commandments signs. He has a home in Las Vegas, too. And he put one up next to some house of ill repute of the Ten Commandments. And he had a video he showed me of this guy walking up to go in the house of ill repute. And he looked up and saw the sign and turned and walked away. You know, the Bible speaks. But anyway, Philip, he was one. We had a Ten Commandments sign on the side of the building. He wanted to have this. We have our gymnasium there back in Kalispell on the side. It faces the highway when you're coming over the hill. And it's the side of the gym. It's a huge wall. I don't know. I think it's 70 foot wide and stands, I don't know, 40 foot high or something. And he says, could I put a Ten Commandments sign on that wall? And I said, Philip, you've got these Ten Commandments signs up everywhere, but people know they're sinners. They need to have an answer to their sin. Why don't you put one up about Jesus? He goes, oh, that's a good idea. So he donated this big sign we put up on the side of our building. And when you come over the hill, the first thing you think, Jesus, name above all names. You know, the name of Jesus captures people's attention. You don't think that's the case? Just go in the middle of a public place in a mall or something and just say, Jesus Christ, my Savior, everybody's going to look at you. It captures the attention. You notice the name of Jesus grabs the attention of all creation. He says things under the earth. Yeah. For many years, this nation has been promoting Santa Claus, snowmen, reindeer, happy holidays, and the list goes on. Propaganda, really, almost. Interesting that the world still knows it's about Jesus. Because his name, God has highlighted his name over the world. See, the names of Christ tell us a wonderful story of redemption, salvation, and hope. He's Emmanuel. He's the Word. He's the King of Kings. He's the Savior, Jesus. All these names point out that he's our only hope. A few years ago, we were driving by Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, which is kind of like here. It's close to the border of Canada. We turned and Highway 2 heads towards Kalispell. And so I asked my dumb iPhone, how far are we from Canada? And my iPhone came back and says, Ottawa, Canada is 2,300 and so many miles. And I go, no, how close are we to the border of Canada? And Siri came back and says, you're 2,400 and so many miles from Ottawa, Canada. And I said, I don't want to know. I said, can you tell me how close is the Canadian border here from Bonner's Ferry? And she kept saying, Ottawa is 2,400 and so many miles. I was making a fool of myself. I'm sitting there arguing with my phone. But phones are like religion. They're full of information but no direction. They appear religious, but they really don't point the way to Christ. Jesus is the clear map to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is us without the Savior. He came and shed his blood. I mean, we're helpless here. Darkness, think about this. Black with sin and headed for the blackness of hell. The blood of Christ comes and we're made white as snow. How could you refuse that? Why'd you want this? There's no future. But there is future because of the blood of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the names of Christ. Lord, you know who'd be here this morning, and I just pray you'd have your will and way in each life. Especially, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus, Lord, I pray they'd come to Christ today. Not put it off any longer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.